The book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. We pick up this evening down in verse number 15. And we will go down through verse number 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Last week we got through verse 12, 13, and 14. Tonight we're going to chew off verse 15 all the way down to verse number 22. I'd encourage you to follow along in your Bible as I read aloud 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse number 15. Here the Bible says, "I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything? Or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, and not to God. I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He?" Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we thank you for this Sunday evening service, this church and these folks that are glad to fellowship with each other and happy to spend time in your house among your people. And God, we pray now as we look at the Word of God that you'd make some things clear to us. Father, feed us from your Word, instruct us. Lord, I pray you'd give to us something tonight that would come straight from you. Lord, may I simply be the waiter that delivers the food of the Word of God. And Lord, may those that receive it have mouths to eat it and systems to digest it, that they might comprehend exactly what Paul is writing about in these verses. Bless your Word to each and every heart. Challenge us and encourage us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at verse 21, if you would. It's almost the end of the passage, but I want you to consider this thought, and this really kind of encapsulates what these verses are about. Notice verse 21. "You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils." Paul is contrasting in these verses two things. We see it clearly in verse 21. The Lord's table and the table of devils. And he's telling the church at Corinth, you can't sit at both tables. You can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You can't sit at the Lord's table and the table of devils at the same time. You know what Paul is telling the church at Corinth? He's telling them that they have a problem among all the other problems they have. They had a problem with separation. They did not want to be excluded from Corinthian society. They wanted to fit in with what was going on around them to such an extent that they were hesitant to draw back from the sacrifice that was being made to idols. Before they got saved, they were idolaters. Before they heard about Christ, they had partook of those different things. And now they've been born again, they've been washed in the blood, they've been saved, they've been regenerated. But there was something about them that wanted them to hang on to something of the past and not separate to be so different from everybody else. The church at Corinth had a problem with separation. So much so, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and this is probably a more familiar passage than the one we're looking at in 1 Corinthians 10, but it'll fit together. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse number 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Paul writes here to this same church group, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? You say, what is Belial? That is a false god. That is a devil. Paul tells us back in 1 Corinthians, we'll go back in a minute, that the idols are not really anything. What is an idol? An idol is really nothing. It's not an idol, it's a devil. And Paul says you can't have fellowship with Christ and have fellowship with Belial at the same time. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You see where God is trying to separate his people from the rest of the world? And in verse 17, he says very clearly, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. The church at Corinth had a problem with separation. They had a problem with letting go of things from their past, of separating them from the things, the foolish and sinful things they did before they came to know Christ as Savior. And we can look at that church and we can judge them harshly for not wanting to draw away from that table of devils, for not wanting to separate from that. And yet we find out that in our day, and many times in our own lives, we're no different than the church at Corinth was. Because we hang on to things we shouldn't hang on to. We return to things we shouldn't return to. We do things we ought not do. We don't come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. The problem of the modern church, or one of the great problems of the modern church, is it's much like the Corinthian church, is it does not want to separate unto God. We live in a day where people want a church and want a God according to their whims. Brother Marshall preached this morning, and he got kind of rough. Now, not he was polite, he was sweet-spirited, but he named some things that a lot of folks, and I thank God for Bible Baptist Church because it's not a problem here, but he mentioned some things this morning, preached on some things that in some churches people get up and walk out on. You know why? Because they want a church, and they want a God, and they want a faith that fits into their system, not wanting to fit into God's system. I think of this example. I've been to some places and I've seen people with Christian t-shirts. And there's nothing wrong with Christian t-shirts. We're getting ready to print some up with our church name on. I got to put a disclaimer right there before I say it. Or you're going to say, preacher, priest against Christian t-shirts. No, I didn't. But if you're going to wear one, act like one. If you're going to wear one, be one. If you're going to wear one, be careful where you're wearing it too. I dare say there's some special events that go on. I remember years ago when we were at Shenandoah Inn and our church services were held there. And every year there was this big event out that way called Jamboree in the Hills. And the hotel would fill up, Shenandoah Inn would fill up. And we'd come out of church on Sunday morning and all these people are packing the back of their pickup trucks heading out to Jamboree of the Hill. And they were dressed like they were going to a Jamboree in the Hill. But some of them had Christian t-shirts on. See, that's contradictory. You can't serve the world and serve God at the same time. Which table are you sitting at? You have to make a decision, and that's just one illustration of it. But many times in our lives, we've got to make a decision which table we're sitting at. You can't sit at the table of the Lord and at the table of devils at the same time. Now, here's the problem when a preacher preaches on things like this. You know what the automatic reaction of many church people is today? Well, you're just a Pharisee. Anytime you talk about standards, that we ought to dress right, that we ought to talk right, that drinking is not acceptable even in social settings, that we need to be careful what we watch and what we listen to. When you preach things like that, they say, well, you're being Pharisaical, you're adding things. No, it's a matter of people wanting to adapt their faith and accept the modern culture as part of them or separating from it. The church at Corinth was trying to merge the two together and combine the two together. And the Lord was brokenhearted and said, you can't do that. He told Paul, tell them they can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils at the same time. You can't sit at the table of the Lord and the table of the devil at the same time. So you and I need to be careful when we find ourselves pulling up the chair at the wrong table. Say, preacher, how will I know that? It's very easy. You keep coming to church. You keep reading your Bible. You keep in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you're sliding that chair up to the wrong table, he'll tell you. No, not that table. This one over here. I remember when I graduated from the kids' table to the adults' table. Way back in the day, Nashville, Tennessee, every year for Thanksgiving, we'd all get together, whole family get together, and you're growing up. I think I was 16, and I was still sitting at the kids' table. So, Brother Lewis, don't worry about a youth pastor being youthful. 16 years old, the kids say, because there's so many adults, there wasn't room. And I remember when I got ready to sit there, and somebody told me, no, Steve, go sit. Stevie is actually what they said, because my dad was Steve. If you ever repeat that, I'll hit you. But my cousins still call me that, all right? Stevie, go sit at the adult table. I got to put it in a new adult. I got to sit at another table. Well, that's just a frivolous example. But here's what we need to be careful when we're pulling up to the wrong table. And you'll know it when you're dwelling or spending time on something that God doesn't approve of or doesn't want you to. If you are growing spiritually and maturing spiritually and developing spiritually, the devil's going to do whatever he can to try to retract that and draw it back. And when he does, the Lord's going to tell you about it if you're in fellowship with him. He's going to speak to your heart about it and convict you about it. You say, how do you know that? Because he does it. I have an affection for music from the 60s and 70s because I listened to it before I got saved. And it can be a weak spot for me. And I have to be careful that I don't give it time because it's not going to benefit me with anything. Now, I don't know what our weakness is, what our strengths are, what our development, but we just have to be careful that we're not spending too much time sitting at the wrong table or any time sitting at the wrong table. You cannot sit at the Lord's table and the table of devils at the same time. Let's look at this passage this evening and see how the Lord breaks this down or how Peter does and tells them that they have to, you and I have to find a Lord and find a Savior that gives us instruction. We need to have a church that teaches us what the Word of God says. And when the preacher says this is wrong or that's wrong or the other thing is wrong, we need to accept that, be willing. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. When the Word of God goes out, we have to have open ears so that we accept it and believe it. And so Paul writes to them as a church that is trying to live their Christian life the way they want to live it, not the way the Lord tells them to live it. And that is the mark of Christianity today. They want a faith that they can do what they want to do when they want to do it, not have to do what they don't want to do when they don't want to do it. So let's look at what Paul says. There's two sections to these verses tonight, and this will break it down for us clearly. Verse 15 to verse 17 talk about the Lord's table. Verse 15 to 17 are the Lord's table. Verse 18 to 22 is the devil's table. And so we have the contrast between the two. The Lord's table, verse 15 to 17. The devil's table, verse 18 to 22. We call it the Lord's table because we read it right there in verse number 21. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Just mark it down. There's a contrast between the two. There's a difference between the two. And Paul is telling this church at Corinth, you can't sit at that table anymore. If you're going to love the Lord and serve the Lord and be faithful to the Lord, you've got to sit at the right table. And that table is where the Lord is sitting at the head of it. What does it mean about that? Well, look at verse 15. When I think about the Lord's table, verse 15, to whom Paul speaks. In verse 15, to whom Paul speaks. In verse 15, he says this. I speak as to wise men. I appreciate the Apostle Paul. I don't think he's putting on. I don't think he's trying to butter them up. When he says, I speak to wise men. Now, verse 15, you could attach that to what he said in verse 12, 13, and 14. Or you could put it with verse 16, 17, 18, and 19. And I tend to put it with that because it's an introduction, I believe, to verse number 16. He's saying, I speak as to wise men. The church at Corinth might have been many things, but they were not unwise. They were not unlearned. They were not ignorant. They were not uneducated. And Paul knew the people to whom he spoke. And he said, you're not unlearned, you're not unknowing, you are wise men. So he says this in verse number 15, judge ye what I say. Paul didn't feel like he needed to force feed them anything. He wasn't trying to shove something down their throat. He was instructing them and then leaving it up to them what they did with that instruction. He said in verse 15, judge ye what I say. The preacher's job is to give you the word of God, to prayerfully and carefully and, Lord willing, faithfully preach and teach the Bible as the word of God. But my responsibility, fortunately, ends when the words come out of my mouth and go to you. That's where your responsibility picks up. And now once I have said it, and again, prayerfully, carefully, and faithfully, and hopefully, I've said it, now it's your turn to do something with it. And you might say, well, I don't like what he said. That's fine. You're not always going to like it. But was it right? I don't agree with what he said. Well, you might not always agree with it. But was it right? I've gone to churches, I've listened to sermons, I've heard preaching, and I heard people say things. I said, you know, I don't think that's right. You know what I do? It sticks to me. It holds on. And for the next couple of days, I'm thinking about what that person said and how he said it and the way he worded it. And many times, I'll come around later after a couple of days to think about it saying, I think that's what he meant when he said that. And that is good. That is right. It's our responsibility to take what the Bible says and what is taught from the Word of God, and as wise men, judge what we hear and judge what is said. So Paul treats them as wise men and gives them the truth and also tells them it's your responsibility. As I quoted earlier, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. God will hold me responsible one day for what I preach and teach. Pastor Braden, he's aware of that too. God will hold us responsible. Sunday school teachers, junior church, he'll hold us responsible for what we teach. That's why we have to do it prayerfully and carefully and thoughtfully. But then he'll hold the people that hear us responsible for what they heard. And if they decide to hear it and disregard it, knowing it's true, that's between them and God. So Paul is delivering the message that God has given to him, and he's writing it down, recording it, and he's telling it to them, and he said, I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say, to whom he speaks. Then in verse 16 and 17 is of what Paul speaks. Verse 15, to whom Paul speaks. Verse 16 and 17, of what Paul speaks. And this is the crux of his message, beginning in verse 16. The cup of blessing. Now, I want to be careful, and that's not the right word. We're going to read about the body and the blood, the cup and the bread. And I don't want us to get focused on the communion service, the Lord's table, in that regard, because we're going to get that in the next chapter of 1 Corinthians. And so I think that, though that is a thought that's in here, I don't want to get locked into that and miss what I think the real intent of these verses is. Again, Paul is speaking about separation, not the table of the Lord and the table of devils. Not righteousness and wickedness. Separate from one and cling to the other. And he says this, the cup of blessing which we bless. Can I ask you a question? Has God ever blessed you? And there is no doubt that from the youngest to the oldest of us here, we can all resoundingly say, yes, he has. And not just one. We could sing the song, count your blessings, name them one by one, and they would be abundant. Sometimes when we get discouraged, when we tend to get depressed, one of the best things you can do is take a sheet of paper and on one side list the things that got you down, list the things that are challenging you right now, that are affecting your emotions and your attitude and making you feel the way you feel. Put them on one side of that paper, then the other side, begin listing God's blessings. And I guarantee you that in just a few minutes, your frown will change to a smile, because you'll realize that the blessings greatly outnumber the challenges that you go through. And again, we all have challenges. We all go through them. They're going to be part of this life. But the blessings are more. And Paul said this. He said, the cup of blessing which we bless. I asked you the question, has God ever blessed you? And most of you are shaking your head or you're smiling in agreement saying, yes, he has. Let me ask you a second question. Has the devil ever blessed you? And you'd have to look, you'd have to search, you'd have to, I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer, isn't it? No, he hasn't. He's never done anything for my benefit. He's never done anything for my good. So the question is, why sit at his table? Why give him any time or any attention? Paul is contrasting these two tables. He said, the cup of blessing which we bless. Now, the word bless in this context, I think, I really believe is talking about thankfulness. The cup of blessing which we bless. Kind of a play on words there, right there. It's talking about God's thankfulness to us and our thankfulness to him. The relationship we have with him. When we sit at his table and we develop that relationship with him and we grow in that relationship with him, we become thankful. The Bible says that when Jesus broke the bread and fed the 5,000, that he lifted up his eyes and he blessed the bread. What does blessing mean? It means giving thanks for. The cup of blessing is being thankful for the blessings of God. And Paul is telling this church, you need to spend all the time at the Lord's table you can because he's the one that blesses you. Don't spend any time at the devil's table because he's never blessed you one time in your life. Be thankful for the blessings. The cup of blessing. Then notice something else he says in verse 16. He uses another word, a C word, like cup of blessing. Communion. Notice in verse number 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Now when we read this word communion, it speaks of fellowship. Blessing speaks of thankfulness. Communion speaks of fellowship. When we commune one with another, we're having a conversation. We are communicating. All right? You see the root word all the way through there. That's what communion is. It's fellowship. And when we sit at the Lord's table, we fellowship with him. And when we sit at the Lord's table, the devil's table's over there, we're not having any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We're not having any communion with Belial. We are communing with God. We are thankful and we're having fellowship. Has the devil ever done anything good for you that you want to spend time with him, have fellowship with him? I mean, everything he does is to entice us to do wrong, to get us to move from the right table, as it were, to the wrong table. Everything he does to allure us. He watches us. He knows our weaknesses. And he focuses on those and tries to draw us away from Christ. Everything that he does, he mentioned it in verse number 13, there's no temptation taken you but such is common to man. The devil knows our weaknesses. He knows our soft spots, and he's going to work on that. Don't spend time at his table. Don't get to know him any better. He already knows you better than you want him to know you. Spend time at the Lord's table. The cup of blessing. The communion. That verse we read, look back at 2 Corinthians 6. We read it once already, but I want you to see it again because it emphasizes the same thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He says in verse number 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? Communion speaks of fellowship. And what fellowship, what communion have Christ and Belial? Have the cup of blessing and the cup of the devil? Have the table of the Lord and the table of the devil? Be dedicated to sitting at the right table. Be dedicated to spending your time at the right table. That will increase your thankfulness and increase your fellowship with the right person. Communion is what we call the Lord's Supper when we take it. It's called the Lord's table. Let's talk about communion, and that's what it's all about. It's not about, and this is kind of a side note, it's not about salvation. It's about thankfulness and fellowship. When we take the bread and we take the cup, we're not taking it and downing it, thinking it gives us eternal life. It is not a mass. It is not a Eucharist. It is communion. It's fellowship. It's a cup of blessing. It's thankfulness. And when we take those two elements and we hold them in our hand and we thank God for what He's done for us and we appreciate the fellowship we can have for Him, that's what it's all about, spending time with God. More time with Him, less time with the devil. The cup of blessing, communion. Then look at verse 17. Again, as we're thinking about of what Paul is speaking, he's speaking about the cup of blessing. He's speaking about communion. Then thirdly, in verse 17, though the word's not found there, he's speaking of the church. In verse 17, for we being many are one bread. I like that. We're one loaf. We're not loafers, but we're one loaf. We're all of one bread. We're not from two different loaves. We're all the same thing. In Christ, there's neither male nor female, Greek nor Jew. We're all the same in Jesus Christ. That's why we have the fellowship that we have here. And that's why when we're sitting at the right table, we are in the right place, and that includes being in church. Because you cannot forsake church and be in the right place. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Again, folks want church today that's limited. We want to be out in a certain amount of minutes in Sunday morning. The sermon can only be a certain amount of time on Sunday morning. Get us out of here, and then we're free till next Sunday. We're free to take off on Sunday and go do everything else we want to do, and we don't have to think about this again till next Sunday. And that's not spending much time at the Lord's table, is it? And that's giving the devil a whole lot of space to work and operate. And Paul says, we are many, we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. That one bread is the bread of life. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what binds us together. I went to make a sandwich yesterday and got the bag of bread out of the shelf. And I opened it up. All that bread is in one bag. I didn't have it in three different bags, two different bags, four different bags. It was all in one bag. All right, when I come to church here, it's all in one bag. We're all here together. We are the bread. We are the body. We are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can fellowship with one another, encourage one another, bless one another, pray for one another, encourage one another. What a blessing the church is. And it's the body of Christ. And it's what we think of, the Lord's table. We are thankful for one another. We have fellowship with one another because we're of one bread. So that's the Lord's table in verse 15 to 17. Then there's the devil's table in verse 18 to 22. And Paul's analogy picks up in verse number 18. You remember in the first 12 verses, he talked a lot about the children of Israel and their wandering in the wilderness. All of them saw the blessings and miracles of God, if you remember that message a couple of weeks ago. They all saw the blessings of God, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. That's what we saw in those opening verses. Paul used the example of those children of Israel leaving Egypt. All of them got to experience the manna. All of them got the quail. All of them got the water from the rock. All of them had shoes that in 40 years of wandering through the wilderness did not wear out and did not expire. They all got to see the provision and the blessings of God. But with many of them, God was not pleased because they began to murmur and complain. And then the Bible says, and some of them tempted the Lord. And some of them, I think three or four times it said, and with Verse 7, be not idolaters as were some of them. Verse 8, let us not commit fornication as some of them. Verse 9, let us not tempt Christ as some of them. Verse 10, neither murmur ye as some of them. So Paul is using an Old Testament analogy to teach a New Testament truth. Be careful. Don't follow the majority. Don't watch the crowd. Don't let them dictate. Don't let those sitting at the devil's table decide what you're going to do when you're sitting at the Lord's table. And so Paul says in verse 18, behold, Israel after the flesh, are they not they which eat of the sacrifices, partakers of the altar? In the Old Testament, they had to bring their sacrifices to God. This is all about sacrifices. They had to bring their sacrifices to the Lord or to the priest, and the priest would offer that sacrifice. Then he could have a portion of that sacrifice, and they could have a portion of that sacrifice. And altogether, they sacrificed unto God. The problem with the children of Israel, the church at Corinth, is they didn't know how to make a sacrifice. And this again comes to that issue of separation. We don't want a sacrifice. We want to serve God as long as it's comfortable. We want to do what's pleasing to us, and that should be pleasing to God. We want to worship, we want to make God in our own image, instead of acknowledging that God has made us in His own image. And we want to say, well, God's okay with this, and God's okay with that, and God doesn't mind if I do this, and God doesn't. How do you know that? Go to the Word of God. Go to the Bible, find it, read about it. Not everything is explicitly spelled out in Scripture. But there are principles and truths that cover every area of our life. And we need to make sure that we are making the right sacrifices for God. Don't sacrifice to the devil. Sacrifice to the Lord. He says that in verse number 19 on the basis of verse 18. He says, what say I then, that the idol is anything? Or that that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? Again, he's focusing on those sacrifices. He said, is that really, they're sacrificing to idols. Is the idol anything? No. It's not anything. It's an inanimate object. It's like a rock or a stone or a piece of wood. It's an idol. It's not alive. Why are you sacrificing to that? Paul says, are those things really anything? No, they're not. What are they? Verse 20. The things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. There's their problem. They were thinking, well, I want to sit at the Lord's table, but I don't want to separate from the rest of Corinthian society. So I'll saddle up to the table just for a little bit of time because they're just sacrificing to idols. And I know an idol is nothing, so I'm not worried about it. Paul said, no, they're not sacrificing to idols. They're sacrificing to devils. And you ought to have nothing to do with that. Withdraw from that. Get away from that. Separate from that. Make a sacrifice for God. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. Again, this is kind of rough stuff. This is hard stuff for a church at Corinth, much less a 21st century church that wants to serve God according to their comfort, according to our ease, according to what we like and what we don't like. We want to serve God in this way and that way, but we don't want Him to have this thing or that thing. And Paul is telling you've got to make a choice. You've got to make a separation. You've got to make a sacrifice. Verse 21 boils it down. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Every one of us makes a choice every single day which way we're going to go. It ties into that temptation again back there in verse number 13. When we are tried and tested, when we are tempted and we yield to that temptation, we're pulling up to the wrong table. When we endure the temptation and ask God for His help and strength to get through the temptation, knowing He'll not test us or He'll not tempt us above that which we're able, we're sitting at the right table. And don't wait until that moment to decide which table you're going to sit at, because you'll fall flat on your face. You've got to make a decision ahead of time. You've got to decide, I'm going to sit at the Lord's table, and anything that draws me away from it is going to be sacrificed. is going to be separated because I don't want to displease my Lord. Verse number 22 concludes Paul's thought with this. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? You know, the Bible says our God is a jealous God. He wants our affections. He wants our love. He wants our devotion. And when he looks at the church at Corinth and sees them dividing their affections among two different things, he's displeased. And he's withholding for a time his judgment or his chastisement upon them. And Paul's trying to make them realize you need to be careful. You don't know how long God's going to tolerate you sitting at the wrong table or entertaining things from the wrong table. Move your chair quickly. Get to the right place. Do the right things. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? God won't do anything. God's not going to judge me. You know what the modern church, God's a God of love. God's a God of grace. They basically say this, that God's grace is so sufficient you can go and sin and do what you want to because God's grace is good enough to cover it all. Now that's a half-truth. And a half-truth is a half-lie. Because God's grace is sufficient to cover everything. But when we purposefully sit under the devil's table thinking that it's all right because God's got grace to forgive it and cover it, I don't have to worry about it, we provoke the Lord to anger. And are we stronger than he? Are we going to overcome his direction in our life? Paul is trying to convince these at Corinth and convince us even today that we cannot drink of the cup of devils and the cup of the Lord. We cannot sit at the devil's table and the Lord's table. You and I need to examine every step we take to see which direction we're going and where we're aiming, where our steps are going. And let the Lord direct our paths. And let him guide our ways. And enjoy the fellowship and the blessing of sitting at the Lord's table. Let's stand tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.